Just want to thank God. It's been another year. It's been another year, and God has kept us. God has been with us. I always say it's all about God. In the beginning, who? God. Doesn't say in the beginning intellectualism. Doesn't. In the beginning, God. I might as well have finished my preaching. But just that first scripture, I think that scripture sums up everything to me. In the beginning, God. You see, John started, he actually dismissed the humanity of Jesus for a while. And he says what? In the beginning, what was the Word? The Word was with God. The Word became flesh and dwelt what? Among us. John says, we're not dealing with man here. We're dealing with God. Matthew, in the other hand, starts saying that we are dealing with a man as well. Jesus called himself what? The Son of Man. In other words, Jesus would call himself, when he asked him, who are you? He says, I'm the Son of Man. Or rather, I am the son of a man. I'm a son of a human being just like you. John comes back and says, no, we're dealing with God. God has become a man. And I always think about faith. I'm going to talk about faith in the sense that what is faith? Faith is believing that God exists. Even though I don't see him, even though I've never actually seen him physically, I know that God exists. That is faith to me. If God exists and he says who he is, and he actually declares that he created everything, that I better get in check and honor him as God. I'm going to talk about faith today. We've been hearing about faith, and it's good that we're hearing about faith. And I think if faith was taught for a whole year, we're just hearing about faith and faith and faith, our faith would be very strong. It's a good thing that we're hearing more about faith, because in the Bible, in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, God has actually talked about the heroes of faith there. I've never seen a chapter in the Bible, a whole chapter in the Bible, that is talking about the heroes of love or the heroes of gentleness. I'm not dismissing these other things, but it's talking about the heroes of faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. By it, the elders, the patriarchs, the people who walked with God before obtained a good report. And he goes on to say in verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, first of all. And he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now, listen to me carefully on what I'm going to say here. This may sound a little bit controversial. Listen to me carefully here. Here we've got Mr. David. That is me. David has got a wonderful, beautiful wife. David has got two lovely children. Wonderful children. I love my children dearly. Kiss their cheeks nearly the whole day. David lives in a very good, modest house. David, by God's grace, David has been given two cars. Got two cars in his parking lot. By God's grace, David can eat three meals a day. God has allowed David to eat three meals a day. He can eat three meals a day if he wants to eat three meals a day. David is comfortable. If he wants to buy a suit, he can go and buy a suit. David believes in God. Then there's another human being on the other side of the world who doesn't know where food is going to come from, is most probably sick, lives in dire poverty, and we've got David here. David believes in God. This person here does not believe in God. God will come to David. Without faith, it is impossible to please. God is not moved by natural calamities. I say, hear me correctly. If he was moved by natural calamities, you'd find him where the natural calamities. You'd find him where there's sicknesses and diseases. You'd find him there. But you go there, you don't find God. He says, without faith, what? It's impossible to? It's about faith. It's not about how rich I am. It's not about how poor I am. It's about how much I acknowledge God for who he is. So without faith, it is impossible to please God. You see, when God creates, if we go back to the book of Genesis, and we look at the sequence of creation in the book of Genesis, God creates an environment first before he creates what he wants to create. So before he creates the stars, he creates the environment, the heavens. Before he creates the plants, he creates the land and the soil. Then the plants come out. Before he puts the birds in the air, he makes sure there's an air, there's an environment for the birds to live in. Before he creates the fish, he makes sure there's water for the fish to live in. Everything that God creates needs an environment. The question is, God has created man. What is man's environment? I said, everything that God creates needs an environment to function properly. If you take fish out of water, it will not function. If there was no air there, the birds will not be able to function properly. If there was no land and soil, the plants will not function properly. So here, man has been created. What is his environment? Man needs an environment. This environment that man needs, if this environment is not there, man cannot function properly. I will tell you what environment that man needs. Man needs the presence and the faith in God to function properly. If man is taken out of the presence and the faith in God, he cannot function properly. Thus, you see, non-believers kill each other. Murder, adultery, all sorts of things. They're outside of the presence of God and the faith in God. You need God. I need God. We all need God. Mark chapter 11, verse 22. Mark chapter 11, verse 22. Another scripture that simply sums up everything to me. It says, so Jesus answered them and said to them, what? Have faith in? Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Faith is meant to get us through things. And for us to be able to remain stable and strong through what you're going through. I'm going to repeat that again. Faith is meant to get us through things and for us to remain stable and strong through it. It is not enough to believe in God. The Bible says that the devil believes in God. Not only does he believe in God, he trembles at the fact that God exists. The devil. If there's anybody who takes God seriously, it is the devil. It is time that we take God seriously as well. James chapter 2 verse 19. You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and they tremble. Look at the connotation of that scripture. That scripture has a connotation of mocking you. Says, you believe in God? Okay. Really? The devil also believes and he also trembles. Show us more. It's not enough to believe in God. You've got, have to have this energized faith. I believe in God. Whatever is happening, I believe that God exists. Whatever is happening. We were discussing this scripture in the morning with Afriye. Psalms chapter 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. Let's talk about all times. Psalms 34 and 1. When times are good and when times are bad, I will bless the Lord. When things are okay for me and not okay for me, I will bless the Lord at all times. The three Hebrew children in the book of Daniel, when they were put into the fire, they said, King, we are not careful to answer you in this situation. Even if God does not answer us, we will not bow down to you. Because we know that we're going somewhere better. So whether you kill us or not, in good times and in bad times, sad to say, very many people only bless the Lord in good times. I know that God exists. Whether things are good or things are bad, I am ready to praise my God. We are dealing with God. My days. I hope that you get this. You're dealing with God. You're not dealing with a human being. You're dealing with the creator of the heavens and the earth. You're dealing with the one who made everything that we see. Everything that we see and all the things that we see and all the things that are unseen, the Bible says, there are things that are unseen as well. He created it. God, the sustainer of everything on this earth. And so, I ask myself, why don't you use that particular faith for other things? Very many times we are good at using our faith to believe God for a husband, to believe God for a wife. I'm going to use my faith and I'm going to pray and fast. I need to go to the forest and pray and fast. God, I want my wife. Oh, that was me, by the way. Used to go to the forest to pray. Pray hard. Faith and believe God. Why don't we start believing God to give you faith to forgive? Believe God for to bless you with a promotion, but don't want to believe God to forgive your mom. Faith. Thessalonians 1 verse 3 says, we ought always to thank God for you, brethren and sisters, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love you have for one another is increasing. Here's where I think we need to get this right. As your love increases, your faith increases. As your love increases for somebody, you have more faith in that person. As your love increases, your faith also increases. I think we have taught a lot about faith. We should start teaching a lot more about love. But if your love starts increasing, your faith will start increasing. If your love for God increases more and more and more and more, the things that used to offend you will just dissipate. Easy for you to forgive. That's why, as I think it says in Mark chapter 11 verse 25, and when you stand praying, if you hold anything against one another, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may also forgive you. There are two things there that we're missing out. If you hold anything against anyone, I think if your love increases, your faith will also start increasing. We have put a lot of emphasis on faith, but we haven't put a lot of emphasis on love. Faith and love increasing simultaneously. You see, these days, there's a lot of information about nutrition. If you're like me, I am a bit confused. Oh, you should be a vegan. Oh, no, you should not be a vegan. Oh, let's go for keto diet. Oh, do not take a keto diet. Oh, if you eat this, it's wrong. If you don't eat it, it's right. If you don't eat that, just yesterday, I was listening to this professor, emeritus professor, meaning that he's a professor and he's retired. So he's a heavyweight of nutritionists, King's College. He's saying that if you go into a vegan diet, it is unhealthy for you. So who should I listen to? This is what I've come to the conclusion, that I'm going to pray for all my foods in faith. Because I know that we are eating some very toxic stuff. And whenever I've got my food here, even the fruits now, I was being told that the fruits, I should not eat any fruits that are not in season. Because if it's not in season, that means they have put some artificial ripeners inside there so that it ripens quickly. So all I said, Lord, I'm going to pray for my food in faith. I know that I'm eating toxic stuff. I'm confused. This is me, by the way. So as I eat this food, I eat this food in faith. So without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. God does not answer cries. God does not answer pity parties. Did you get an analogy of David? He's comfortable, and somebody in the other world is a bit uncomfortable, but David acknowledges God. God is with him. He says his eyes run to and fro, seeking for faith. If I really want to know about faith, about your faith, to be honest, I just need to hear what you're saying. You know that. I really need to hear your speech. Just by talking to you, I can tell your faith. And I can even tell your faith more by talking to you when you're going through hard times. Especially when you're going through hard times. Especially when you're being mistreated and God seems like he's not vindicating you. Then I can know more about your faith, because the scripture tells me in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, and since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore we speak. So if I want to hear your faith, I just hear your speech and I can tell whether you believe God is going to do this for you. Faith, believing in God. Trusting in God. Saying to the Lord, Lord, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You see, in the book of Hebrew 11, we call it the heroes of faith. And it says, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned for things not seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. Very many of these people here in Hebrews chapter 11 did not even see what they were promised, but they maintained their faith. And that tells me something. That whether God is answering my prayers now or not, I am going to maintain my praise and my faith in him. It says, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. He went out not knowing where he was going. My wife is not here, so I can say something. Oh, my wife is here. Okay. I was going to say, if I was in Abraham's shoes, God told me, hey, David, come out of these people. I will show you a place. Come out. Let's go. I'm going to show you somewhere. Place that I want to give you as an inheritance. And I start packing my things. I tell my wife, well, we are going. I think the first thing my wife is going to ask me is, where are we going? I said, I don't know. God has said that we are going. If I tell you guys here, some of you guys, let's go, let's go. Come up, let's go, let's go. I'm going somewhere. God has told us we're going somewhere. The first you're going to ask me, where are we going? Have we got enough money? Have we got this? Have we got that? Are you really have you done a feasibility studies of where you're going to? Do you know where you're going to there? There are animals there. It is this and that. It's a rough terrain. I usually say this, God is the most intellectual person you're ever going to come across. It says, in the beginning was the word. In the beginning was the logos, where we get the word logistics. In the beginning was the word. In the beginning was the logos. In the beginning was the plan, it says. In the beginning was the computation. The computation was God. The plan was God. The logistics was God. The plan became flesh. The logistics became flesh, and we beheld it. God is the most intellectual person you'll ever find. But yet, sometimes God does not do intellectualism. He says, I need your faith. Let us go. Come out, I will show you a land. He says this in verse 7. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things yet not yet seen. Have you guys read that scripture properly? He says, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, meaning that rain had not been seen. The concept of rain had never been witnessed by the earth ever before. If you told the people who are living there then that is the water is going to come from the skies, they start laughing. Look at this guy, mad person. Water from the sky? He says, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness according, righteousness which is according to faith. Rain had never been reported. It's like telling people today, weird analogy here, a lion is going to give birth to a python. So we're telling people. And Noah prepared this ark. It is said that Noah prepared this ark for 120 years. And they were laughing at him. For 120 years, he was preparing this ark. Aish. Some of us can't even stand 4 hours of people laughing at us at our workplace. Says, Lord, I've had enough. People are laughing at me in my workplace. I've had enough. 120 years, moved by faith, preparing an ark. What are you going through at the moment? Exercise your faith. The trust in God. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 30 to 34. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For all these things the non-believers seek, the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Goes on to say, if he clothes the flowers and he feeds the birds, how much more you? Compare yourself with a bird. You think God thinks highly of you than an animal. Do not fret. Do not worry. We're dealing with God. My God. My God. When I say my God, I'm not using vain repetition. I mean it. My God. My God is such an awesome God. My God is such an awesome God. See how he loves me. See how he loves me. My God is such an awesome God. My God. I like the movie, The Ten Commandments. It's the movie, The Ten Commandments, when Pharaoh decides he's going to chase after the children of Israel. And his wife says, gives him the sword. This is just a movie. Say, hey, go and finish this Moses off. And he takes a sword. And he goes after the children of Israel. And then that scene finishes. And the next scene, Pharaoh is coming back to his palace with his sword. And his wife asks him, where are the children of Israel? And his answer is, they are God. They are God. My God, my God, I'm talking about faith. God will see you through. That God will be with you. That God will protect you. My God. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 20 to 18. Now, one moment, please. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 to verses 10 to 18. Ephesians, well-known scripture. I've got my shield here. I want to show you something. Somebody showed me something. I learned something from somebody. I said, let me show you guys what this person showed me. It says this, finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. For put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces in heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. After you have done everything to stand, stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Verse 16. In addition to this, take up the shield of faith, which you will be able to extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Now, here's my shield of faith. My shield of faith. You'll be able to extinguish the fiery darts of the evil one. Oh, Mr. David, are you a Christian? I'm a Christian. I've got the breastplate of righteousness. I've got the belt of truth. I've got the shield of faith. Then the devil shoots an arrow at me. An arrow of anger shoots it. Boom, I start behaving like the Incredible Hulk. Are you a Christian? I'm a Christian. I've got the shield of faith. 1.5 weeks ago, I think last week, the enemy shot a dart of anger towards me. Boom! I started behaving like the Incredible Hulk. My wife became shocked. My wife says, "You're scary." If you had seen me that time, you say, "David, is this you?" This is not David that I know of. Oh, but I'm a Christian. But the Bible says this. The Bible says, lift up the shield of faith. Put it up. Come on, put it up. Don't put it here on your shoulders. Somebody showed me this. I thought this is very good. Oh, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. I've got the shield of faith. Dart of bitterness. Boom. I don't want to talk to that person. Never talk to them. Look at them. Are you a Christian? I'm a Christian. Quoting scripture, shield of faith, breastplate of righteousness. Shoots another one. Shoo! Last. Oh, I'm going to watch pornography. Are you a Christian? I'm a Christian. I got a shield of faith. Bible says what? Lift it up. Your weapons are meant to be used. Your weapons are not meant to decorate you. You've got to use them. Lift it up. Because the enemy will shoot. Definitely will shoot. If he doesn't even shoot today, by the end of this service, he'll shoot something. Even before you leave this building today, I'm telling you, he's going to shoot something at you. Even before next week comes, he's already shooting, preparing. Lift it up. Lift up the shield of faith, that you'll be able to extinguish the wiles of the evil one. There's so many things about faith. We should be a people of faith, believing God. It says, fight the good fight of faith. It means for your faith, you cannot be passive. You've got to fight for your faith. And you've got weapons. I told the guys, the CDC, I think very many people know this, the armor of God, when Paul was giving us the armor of God, the best thing that he could actually look at was the Roman soldiers. And the armor of God, if you look at the backside of the armor of God, there was nothing protecting them. The backside was all bare. The front was full of armory. And I said, When you're going out to war, it means that there is no turning back. As a Christian, there is no turning back. Because if you turn back, you're naked. You know the song that we used to sing in Sunday school? I have decided to follow Jesus. I love these songs. I was saved in 1994, November. And in 1994, Hillsong produced the first album, 1995. Shout to the Lord. And I've been listening to Hillsong ever since. I love Hillsong. And some of the songs are very wordy, which is very good. But sometimes I like the old school songs. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. What happened to that? Simple but powerful song. I have decided to follow Jesus. I'm not turning back. I won't be moved. I have discovered what I need to discover. There is no higher revelation that God is going to bring to us except for Jesus. There is nothing greater. There is nothing greater that God is going to bring to us except for Jesus. Absolutely nothing. If you look at the story of Elijah, I like the story of Elijah. Elijah comes into the scene. Elijah, we do not even know about Elijah's training, Pastor Angela. We don't know where he came from. We don't know who trained him. Elijah just busts into the scene. At least with the other people, with Moses and with David, we can see a little bit of training here. Even with Jesus, we can see some sort of training. But Elijah just busts into the scene. Elijah the Tishbite has arrived. And Elijah comes into the scene when the situation is seriously, seriously deplorable. If you study the history of what was happening to Israel at that time, let me just read you some of the people who were ruling Israel at this time. One, Jeroboam, he made two calves of gold and said, "Is it too much for you to go to Jerusalem and worship? Why don't you worship these calves?" That was Jeroboam. Next came Nadab. Nadab said he did evil in the sight of the Lord and walked in his father's ways. Then after Nadab came Baasha. He ascended the throne by killing Nadab. Then after Baasha came Eli. He was a murderer and a drunkard. These are rulers. Then came Zimri. Zimri says he was guilty of treason, meaning that he was guilty of overthrowing Eli and killing him, and he took over Israel. Then came Ahab. We only hear about Ahab. This is what was said about Ahab. It is said that he did evil in the sight of the Lord than all the kings that were before him. 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 33. And Ahab made a wooden image, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel who are before him. So we're now with Ahab. God decides to send Elijah during Ahab's time. If you think our state is deplorable, you've got to lift up your faith. Yes, there are issues in this world today. God has not changed. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. God has not changed. So Elijah comes into the scene. Elijah, a man full of faith, full of strength, man of prayer. But I want to show you some things about Elijah. First Kings chapter 17, verse 17. And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain this year except at my word." His word is as strong as God's word. Burst into the scene when Ahab is around. Then the word of the Lord came to him saying, "Get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook. Have I commanded the ravens to feed you there?" So God tells Elijah, go to the brook. Brook means river, a stream. And that stream is going to feed you. So what does he do? Has he heard from the Lord? He's heard from the Lord. So he goes to this brook. Verse 5. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. God has spoken. For he went and stayed by the brook which flows into the Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening. And he drank from the brook. He drank from this river. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up. I'm going to pause there. But God, did you tell me to come to CLF? Say, yeah, I believe God has told me to come to CLF Greenwich. This is my church. I had clearly, I've got witnesses. I have come to CLF. I believe God has told me to go to this river. It is going to feed me. I'm going to drink of the river. But now the river has dried up. What are you going to do? Oh, God has told me to come to CLF. Yeah. Then you get offended. Oh. But did God speak to you? God spoke to you. Faith. Now you want to leave. But we thought God spoke to you. Listen to what happened next. Listen to what happened next. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah saying, arise, go to Zarephath. I'm going to jump to verse 8. Which belongs to Sidon. Dwell there. I have commanded a widow to provide for you. So he went to Zarephath and he came to the gate of the city. And indeed, there was a widow there. Oh, Mr. David. God has told me to come to Birmingham. There's a certain lady. She's going to feed me. There's a widow there. It's clear. It's from God. It's not from Satan. It's from God. This lady is going to feed me. God has spoken to me. You come. I come to Birmingham. I find out she's a widow. Then I speak to her. How are you? I'm fine. Listen to what this lady says. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and he came to the gate, and indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, please bring me some little water that in a cup that I may drink. And she was going to get, and he called to her and said, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. This is what the lady said. So she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread. And only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. Hey, God told me to go to Birmingham to this lady. I find this lady here and say, she's going to feed you. Go there. And I find, how are you? Oh, I've got just some oil. After that, we are going to die. Did God speak? Or was it Satan? Or was it your own human flesh that was talking here? God spoke. Listen, God has spoken to you certain things. Yes, there are going to be situations that look the opposite, that your faith has to kick in. Yes, sometimes the river will go dry in CLF. Okay, it'll go dry in CLF. Let me not speak that. Sometimes it'll not be as the way you planned it to be. But God has spoken to you. God has spoken to you guys so many things, but you're looking at the natural. I said, God does not do the natural. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Well, we know this story. Elijah says to her, do not fear, as you have said, just make me a small cake and I'll eat it first and bring it to me. Afterwards, make for yourself and your son. Hey, let us be politically correct here. You go into a house and it's a single lady. And she's got her only son. And then you tell this single lady, give me that food for you and your son. I think the police will come rushing into the house. Look, what's wrong with this man? This is a single lady with her only son. And you say, hey, bring me that food, African style. Bring me that food so I can chop it in front of you and your son. God has spoken. Later on, this same story here, it goes on in verse 17 and says, now it happened after these things, the son of this woman now dies. After all this, the son of this woman dies. It says, after this thing, the son of the woman who owned the house became sick, and the sickness was so serious, verse 17, there was no breath left in him. So she now turns to Elijah and says this, "What have I to do with you, O man of God? Have you come to bring my sin to remembrance and kill my son?" Now the man of God is a murderer. What would have you done? First of all, God told you to go to a river. This river has dried up. Then God says, go to this lady. This lady is going to feed you. You find out that this lady is about to eat her last meal and die. Then a miracle happens. After that, now the son of this lady dies and now he's accusing you of being a murderer. My friends, I pray that your faith will be stronger and stronger in the Lord. Yes, there are going to be situations, indeed, and those situations will be quite challenging. But your faith in God is what is going to see you through. Different things are going to come your way, discouraging things. Your faith is going to see you through. Your faith is going to see you through. Amen. 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 I want to pray for people. If I can have the worship team, I want to pray for people. First of all, I want to pray for anybody here who wants to give their heart to the Lord. God created you. God loves you. God has been calling you for a while. You've been neglecting. And I want to pray for you today. You say, I'm starting the journey of faith. I'm starting this journey today. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to honor God. I'm going to start this new year with God with me. If that is you, with every eye closed and bowed down, if that is you, please raise up your hand. I believe some people, God has been calling them, has been calling. If that is you, raise up your hand. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to ask you to stand, please, if you don't mind. Today, you're going to start walking with the Lord. Father, I pray for these ones. I pray, Lord, that you keep these ones. I pray, Lord, that as they've taken this step today to start living and honoring you, Father, be with them. Keep them, Father God, Lord. Strengthen their walk. They will be stronger and stronger, Father God. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to pray for a second category of people. You may open your eyes. I want to pray for a second category of people. I want to pray for people who have been wavering in their faith. Situations and circumstances have come your way and your faith has been affected. And sometimes you even question the existence of God. That is you, please do stand. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you today. That is you, please do stand. Things have happened and your faith has been affected. Father, I pray for my brother. I thank you for my brother. I ask you, Father, that you keep him. I pray for my sister. Lord, I pray, Father, that you bless her. Lord, that you reveal yourselves more and more, Father God, Lord. More and more to them. I'm going to kindly ask you guys to come forward, please. I'm going to kindly ask you to come forward. The anointing of the Lord is here. And I'm going to ask the pastors to help the elders to help me as we pray for these ones. And if you gave your life to the Lord, I'm going to also ask you to come forward, please. If you stood up and you gave your life to the Lord, I want you to come forward, please. Please do come forward. We want to pray for you. Church, let's stand, please. Let's stand. Let's just worship. Reach out to the Lord.
Here's my worship.
Yes,
Lord. All of my worship. Receive my worship. All of my worship.
Here's my worship, Lord.
Here's my worship. All of my worship.
Father, receive my
worship. All of my worship.
Here's my worship, Lord.
Here's my worship. All of my worship.
Father, receive my worship.
All of my worship.
Lord, here's my worship.
All of my worship. Receive my worship. All of my worship.
Here's my worship, Lord.
Here's my worship. All of my worship. Receive my worship, all of my worship.
Here's my worship, Lord.
Here's my worship, all of my worship. Receive my worship, all of my worship.
Here's my worship.
Here's my worship, all of my worship. Receive my worship, all of my worship.
And I will not be silent. I will always worship you. As long as I am,
as long as I am breathing, I will always worship you.
And I will not be silent,
and I will not be silent. I will always worship you.
As long as I am breathing,
as long as I am breathing, I will always worship.
Shut Santa. I want to pray for anybody who is fearful of the next year. If this is you, you're a bit uncertain about next year. You feel very anxious about this coming year. Please do come forward and we pray for you, please. Yes, Lord.
Yes, here's my worship. Here's my worship. Sing, here's my worship. All of my worship. Receive my worship. All of my worship. Here's my worship. All of my worship. Receive my worship. All of my worship. Here's my worship, Lord.
Here's my worship.
I give you all.
You are the lifted up. And Father, we want to thank you that, Lord, you have blessed us, you have given to us, you have sown seeds into our lives. Father, we are blessed beyond measure. And Father, we don't always acknowledge that, but Father, we do want to acknowledge that right now, that Father, you have given to us in abundance. And so we're going to take our offering now. Our offering is a celebration. It's a time of rejoicing, of giving thanks to God. So as the offering baskets come round, if you need an envelope, please let the ushers know. We're going to continue to worship, and we are giving to God out of a thankful heart. Not begrudgingly, but because we are blessed and thanking God for how he's blessed us. So please, if you're a guest, don't feel that you have to give. We're giving to God out of the abundance of what he's given to us. So we're going to take our offering now as we continue. Please sit down if you need to. Thank you. Thank you, ushers. Just while that's going on, we're going to pray for those who are looking for work. We're going to do that in a moment. But just while the offering's coming round, we're going to watch. We're going to watch our wonderful video, which is about our New Year's Eve service. So, thank you. Wow, that was, I think you should clap for that. That was quite impressive. That was like one of those kind of, you're expecting some epic. Yeah, so let me just say to you that it is going to be epic. So just like that, as you would expect, it's going to be an epic, awesome time together. New Year's Eve is going to be incredible. So please, I'd like to encourage you. We're going to be here, as it says on there, did it say 9:30 or 10:30? 9:30. So please come along, fellowship together, see in the new year together. It is a really wonderful, fantastic time. So I want to encourage you to come. We're going to have another scripture reading. Yes. You did. Okay. Thank you.
Isaiah 6 verses. Isaiah 6 verses 9 to 11.
Did you hear that? No, you gotta be louder.
Okay. Isaiah 6 verses 9 to 11.
Excellent, thank you. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. From that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this.
Amen. Thank you. That was excellent. Well done. Thank you. Woo! Weren't they brilliant? We want more of that. Fantastic. Thank you for reading that, guys. More reading. So I just want to encourage you to come along on New Year's Eve. We are here next Sunday, and we're actually all again to hear together again on Christmas Day as well. So if you'd like to join us on Christmas Day, we would love to be with you. Christmas is a really wonderful time, but it's also a very difficult time for some people. In the prison, the guys are on their own. It's a very challenging time for them. So it's really good for us to be able to come together and just to give thanks together on Christmas Day, acknowledging Jesus' birthday. We were out in the creche area and we asked the creche children, whose birthday is it at Christmas? And they were all going, me, it's my birthday. And I was saying, no. So just some of you parents need to sort out your teaching methods, please. I was quite disgraced that these little ones who didn't know whose birthday it was. Anyway, bless them. They know now. Anyway, so we want to thank God for the fact that it's actually Jesus' birthday. People are doing all sorts of things at Christmas. I don't know if you know this, but actually on Christmas Day, the sun worshippers worship the sun. They get up and they go out to worship the sun. So us coming to church on Christmas Day to worship the Son of God is a very, very powerful spiritual statement, because there are others who are making an effort to get up and go and worship the sun in the sky, the sun that shines, not the Son of God. So it's really powerful that we come to worship. We would like to invite all of you to please stay and enjoy some refreshments. We've got some wonderful cakes and mince pies, and please stay, find that person whose name you found out who they were, and please stay and enjoy those refreshments together after the service. I'd like to invite the anyone who serves in CLF. So if you serve in any kind of ministry, we have a special gift for you. We want to say thank you to you, because as a church, we are so blessed by the way that we serve in God's house. And we want to do that by asking you to come. So as we continue our song of worship, maybe you want to get yours first before you come. I'd like you to just invite yourself, you guys here, if you're part of the any type of ministry or serving in church, please come and get a gift. And on this side, again, if you'd like to just come up and get your gift. So if you serve in any way, if you have a desire to serve and you're not serving yet, then you can't come and get the mug. But maybe it will inspire you to say, yes, I would like to. We would like all of you, if you are serving in church, please come and take a gift. Please come and take a gift, because this is a gift for you from church. So please come and take a gift. Everybody who's serving in church, please come and take one. If you're not in a team, then please, you can see me if you'd like to join a team. If you're in more than one team, don't take two mugs. That doesn't make sense. Bless you. People are taking two, so can you announce? Oh, gosh, yeah. Okay, if somebody's not here, then please don't take a mug for them. They'll get theirs next week. So just take the mug for yourself. Thank you. Thanks. I am looking at you. I saw that. So online, just to remind you again, we're here next week, Christmas Day, Embrace. And so let's just stand together. We're slightly over. Let's just stand together. Please stay and enjoy the refreshments. Really want to encourage you to enjoy a feast together. So let's just pray. If you didn't come forward for prayer and you would like prayer, please can you come to us at the front and we'll pray with you. If you are online and you would like prayer, please contact the office. So you can contact the office and we will contact you and pray with you. So please, if you're online and you want prayer, please don't go without that prayer support. We will pray with you. Okay, let's just raise our hands before the Lord and give thanks. Father, we want to thank you that you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We praise you that, Lord, you are with us. And so, Lord, we pray that by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each one of us as we go now. Lord, we give you thanks and praise for all that you have done and continue to do in the name of Jesus. Be with us. Amen. Amen. There is going to be a bouncy castle. So if you, while you're getting your refreshments, the bouncy castle will be set up. And